Hello, I'm Colin Baker, known to my friends as Old Sixy, the sixth Doctor in that wonderful series Doctor Who. And I am proud to tell you are listening to me, and also Gallifrey Public Radio, the radio that brings you everything from Doctor Who to Rhino Wants a Wife, which is a book written by Lucy Baker, my daughter. It's a children's book. You can get it from fbspublishing.co.uk, and it's about a rhinoceros who is lonely and wants a wife, and it's illustrated by my other daughter's boyfriend, and it's a bargain. Buy it!
I'm Josh Liston from On The Bubble Podcast, an oral history of television fandom, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at gunnageeknetwork.com.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Whitten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
And Hayley Malley.
Darth Vader, he's a villain, right?
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers. We do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor. But don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you a fair warning.
Welcome to episode 322 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where all you really need to restore your fandom energy during a year-long hiatus is a few thousand fellow Whovians and one long weekend, and drinks, and countless celebrities, and a jammed schedule of entertaining and informative panels, and drinks, and music, and comedy performances, and drinks. I'm Haley.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Keir. And this week we're going to keep it brief because we have some planning to do, because the 30th installation of the Los Angelian mecca of Doctor Who conventions is a mere few days away, and Galley One waits for no podcast. So the faster we wrap this thing up, the faster I can get this thing edited and published and figure out what's going to be going into my bags. So we talk about it often enough, and most of our listeners know it pretty well, but we do grab some new folks every once in a while that just come in and say, okay, help us out here. You seem to make a big deal out of it. We know what conventions are. How is this any different? Well, it is for a couple of reasons. Jay, where would we even begin? I mean, as far as just sort of differentiating Galley from just other Omni fandom conventions in general, and then we can just break it down and say how it differs from other Whovian conventions.
Oh, geez. So anyone that's ever been to one of the Omni conventions, and you find that one group over in the corner who has like found each other, and they're debating the physics of Star Trek transporters or something like that, and they're getting really deep into the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. And it's just that you can tell that this is the moment that they've lived for, because that's what Galley is, but everywhere. It's walking up to any random person that you see and knowing that while they may not have the same minutia that they're fascinated with, they'll join in on any conversation you throw their way. It's everybody loves everything about the show, and they're willing to discuss, debate, whatever you want to, like, it's just one of those things. It's like you walk into it and all of a sudden everyone is your best friend.
Yeah. You don't have to worry too much about, even if there are differences of opinion, I think there's a certain degree of respectful decorum that's maintained in most instances. Sure, there's going to be outliers, but I think they've, Sean and company do a pretty good job of making sure that they can invite guests in, designate moderators, and establish a panel schedule that really caters towards a full appreciation of everything. Even if you're, if you think you know everything, great. Or if you're only gravitating towards the panels for the things that you know that are within your comfort zone, that's fine. But there are some challenging things in there too, some opportunities to be able to say, you know what, I want to hear some contrary opinions. I want to hear some people actually sort of break this thing down or introduce me to a facet of the fandom that I wasn't familiar with enough previously. So, in fact, it even has a whole education track. One of the things that I was going to talk about in a little bit that they that really works to see how the Whovian mindset applies both within educating the fan and also applying our love of the fandom to educational pursuits. So, all right. Haley, anything to add to that as far as the differentiation from the multi kind of Comic-Con scene and that sort of thing?
Fewer lines.
Yeah.
Much shorter lines.
Yeah.
Yep. Crowd control is built into it. You know, it has a ticket cap and it is, we are sold out for this year. I think it doesn't, I'm trying to remember exactly what the exact number is that they try to maintain, but it's within a couple thousand at best. So it really does stay really intimate. Yep. Now, what about and within?
Yeah. LobbyCon is a big part of this. That is not part of most other large scale.
That is true. That is true. The Marriott knows what the vast majority of people staying there are there for. In fact, it's hilarious to see the people that are actually in the hotel that aren't there for the con.
Oh, God, yeah.
Those poor scrappy few.
Those poor flight attendants.
Oh, my God. They make a beeline for the elevator and just hide. But as far as like we've attended a bunch of specifically or explicitly Whovian conventions as well, and Galley's just its own thing even within that circle as well, right?
Yeah. Because it's bigger. Like we talk about, it's smaller than the multi-fandoms, but it's also bigger than most of the other Doctor Who conventions.
Mm.
It's a really big single fandom convention.
True. True.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things about it is where you know, with the multi-fandom conventions, like. Yeah, you'll get your chance to see Robert Downey Jr. way over there on the stage, and you're basically looking at a little white dot under a jumbotron where you can actually see him.
Mm.
And that's the closest you're going to get to meeting these people. Whereas at most Whovian conventions, you're going to sit at the bar and buy them a drink. And with Galley...
Ride the elevator with them.
Yeah, exactly. With Galley, you're getting bigger names than you do at some of the other small... Whovian-centric conventions. So it's a kind of a hybrid between the multi-fandom conventions where you get the big names, but you still get to like actually hang out with them.
Yeah.
The hybrid.
Finally, I found out what the hybrid truly is. All right. So, Haley, I know you've been looking over the schedule today to sort of get some idea. I'm going to be at a bit of a disadvantage because I'm not going to make it to a good chunk of the panels that I want to because I'm working the con as well. But that's fine. A few things I'll be on that'll be able to let me get away from the table every once in a while when the vendor floor closes. But as far as what was really jumping out at you as the kind of the all right, if I can align my planets and my schedule properly, I want to make sure I don't miss this.
Well, I went through the schedule today and booked all the things I really wanted to go to. And there's only a few hours where I picked three things. So that's good. I'm waiting on my time turner to show up. Mm-hmm. But like the big celebrity interviews are always the thing you really want to go see, especially when you get a good moderator doing the interview or the panel.
Okay. Is there one in particular that's really like, that's the, all right. Yeah. I have a couple things double scheduled, but you know, this one's got to take precedent.
Catherine Tate and John Barrowman, just cause I've never seen them at a convention before. Okay. And I really want to make sure I get to see each of them at least once.
Gotcha. I know. Was it just a couple of years ago? Last time Barrowman was there, 2 years back, that they were recommending to attendees that they
pick one or the other.
Yeah, they had him on the main stage twice. Yeah.
Yes, same thing this year with Catherine Tate and with John Barrowman. They each have two panels scheduled, and it says please go to one or the other. I put both in my schedule because I don't know what's going to happen. Like I might not be able to get into the room the first time.
You rebel.
Something else I'll go to. I also want to go to some of the science panels that are happening. JPL is in town, so some of the scientists from there always go and do some sort of panel or something.
Is Phil Plait there again this year?
I don't remember seeing his name.
Okay.
Let's see. Sarah Milkovich and Kim Stedman are going to talk about Mars stuff.
Yeah, I think they were on the panel with him 1 or 2 years back, and they were doing actually a really huge Mars discussion, but okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Anita Singupta is talking about technology, I think, in general. It's from flying cars to humans on Mars, the future of transportation.
Okay, cool.
So those are some of the science-y things I want to go to.
Yes.
Yes. And then there's... like some of the comedy shows and stuff that are later in the evening, I definitely want to catch those.
Mm.
This or That, put on by the Head Over Feels ladies, is always a must-see event.
Unmissable. Unmissable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to go to, what is Verity's thing they do? What's it called?
Oh, they do In Defensive. In Defensive. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Which is always definitely fun.
Definitely want to go to that. And then Sarah Dollard and Rachel Talalay are doing one together about Heaven Sent. It's a live commentary. So that's a big thing on my list. And then we missed this panel last year because we were like, oh, it's like a last panel of the day. We're going to leave early and get dinner. But the women of Doctor Who doing the big panel together.
Yep. Yep. It became the pivotal moment at last year's con. And thankfully, it was one of the few things. There's not a lot of instances where the way the convention maintains things, they don't allow for a lot of videotaping of the panels themselves for a lot of reasons, a lot of licensing and just agreements with talent and things. This was one of those instances where you could get some of that. That was given some of the permission because it was so powerful and so necessary. It may be a slightly different conversation this year, but it's going to be a lot of really fascinating voices, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot to add to it. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I had one of the things I'm going to try to make it to. It's a Saturday evening. It's sort of that one of the last panel slots before the evening stuff kicks in. Is actually going to be the Just Be Kind discussion. So it's really talking about the idea of maintaining some sense of compassion, and it'll have to do with cyberbullying to a certain degree. It'll have to do with just the idea of, you know, it's very easy to fall into the trap of being a kind of a keyboard warrior and that sort of thing. Can you take your activism? Can you take the things that you feel in your heart are right and apply them to your daily life, as well as just, you know, your social media persona and that sort of thing? Got some great folks on there. Monica Duarte from Temple of Geek will be on that panel. Crystal D from the Doctor Who fan show is going to be on that panel as well. So it's definitely one that's on my must list. If I can, well, maybe I'll skip dinner that night. I don't even know.
Yeah, because not eating at a convention is always a good idea, especially late in the day when you're going to start drinking hard.
That's a great choice. Yep. Speaking of which, yeah. So the other thing that I've got on for that evening is I'll be part of the improv assistance for the Drunk Whovian History.
Yeah, I put it on my schedule, but I thought I'd let you talk about it.
Yeah, I don't really know how this is going to turn out. A friend of ours, Andy Hicks, over from Coal Hill AV Club, will be involved in this as well. I don't know if he's going to be on the drunk panel or if he's going to be on the improv team. But essentially, if you are at all familiar with Drunk History in that series, the whole idea of someone who's recounting what they believe to know as the story behind something. And then you've got little vignettes where their recount of their best guess of whatever the topic was gets acted out. So there will be a handful of people doing the drunk retelling, Richard Jenick and a few others, and then a team of us doing the improv reenactments as well. There will be some audience participation on that as well, so I'm kind of looking forward to that one. What else was on my must list? Oh, I was talking about the academic track that is actually coordinated for a number of panels by Paul Booth, Joy Piedmont. We know Joy from Reality Bomb. They are doing all kinds of interesting breakdowns on a series of academic topic presentations. So it runs anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes a piece. So it'll be everything from the idea of women of color to the idea of applying morality to to the idea of science fiction and impressing upon a moral compass. It'll have to do with things like the audio components of Doctor Who over the years, all kinds of interesting things. And a lot of our familiar names, friends of ours, are going to be doing some of these presentations. Ty Gooden, who we've spoken with on a number of occasions. Tom Dickinson, who does the Moment podcast. Michaela Micamonico is going to be doing something on asexuality, aromantism, and how that fits within Doctor Who. All kinds of really cool stuff. It goes on all day long. Well, all afternoon long. It's that whole Friday evening slot.
I put it on my schedule, but I don't know what I will or will not be able to get to.
Mm. Thankfully, it's going to be one of those things where, because it sort of scatters and peppers between, mm-hmm. you may have an opportunity to sort of bounce in and bounce out.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. So that's on my list for any time I can take a break from the vendor floor. I'm going to slip in and see who's speaking at the moment so I can support that too. As far as the celebrity oriented panels and discussions, the one that I really want to see, it's just me. I got to go to the 6 days of Doctor Who. So that I can get that complete old 60 experience. So you've got Colin and Nicola, but then you got Frasier, who did appear with them during the Two Doctors sort of crossover episode, and they've done a lot of work since in the audios. Lisa Green will be on the panel. Flip Jackson, so if you recognize her, Flip is the Six Doctors' most recent companion, and Michael Jayston, Jay's personal favorite,
geez.
The Valyard. And obviously, I'm sure the whole conversation is going to be a lot of fun. Steve Szczepanski from RFS is going to be moderating that one, so he'll be cat herding that whole conversation.
I do not envy him.
No, I do. Man, I can't. I just think that's going to be fantastic. But as we've always said, it always depends on Colin's mood. If Colin's in a good mood, you're going to have a great panel. So, but I think having Nicola there, it brings out a more cheerful Colin. So. I got high hopes for that one. That'll be Friday afternoon. The only other stuff that I know that I'm going to be involved with, because I'm going to be involved with them, so I'm going to make sure that I have a chance to attend them. There will be a podcasting discussion, and our friend, Kyle Anderson from over at the Nerdist is going to be on there, and he is the founder of the Doctor Who, the Writer's Room, which is a fantastic podcast, but you all know that already. You probably already listen, probably longer than you've been listening to us. So just good stuff all around. And the last thing I've got on my punch list, which is, it sounds far more complicated than it really is. It just has a really complex title because Mike Sulko really loves complex titles, is the Dimensionally Transcendental Middle, which is basically really just talking about the concept of recasting parts for things like audios, or if you're doing novelizations and bringing other character combinations in, and the whole idea of filling in some of the gaps between stories. You thought you knew all of the Six Doctors era, and then Big Finish says, all right, well, here's all these other pieces. Oh, and here's his regeneration story. Or you take a particular companion and you want to do something like Big Finish will run off and do some of their companion chronicles and do some of the little moments between their adventures, and how do you dance around that aspect of playing within a limited storyline, or you have to get back to a certain point in order for the next chronological story to make sense, or you're dealing with recasting for voices or things like that, or for parts. So should be an interesting discussion of that too, but all kinds of stuff to take apart. So yeah, I thought I was going to take it easy this year.
Yeah.
I am not taking it easy this year. But
Is the Whovian Running Club doing a run at all during the convention?
We were talking about doing a fun run. The only thing that we might be running into an issue with is typically when we do fun runs at conventions, we need to try to find a safe route. And a safe route around the LAX is nigh upon impossible.
I don't know. Last time I was at LAX, there was a guy just running down the street.
Yes. Yeah. And I went for a run last year.
Well, I mean, this was a guy with no shoes and no shirt.
Okay. Well, being chased. Yeah.
I didn't see anybody chasing him, which was the weirdest part.
That means he got away.
Hey, he's a best runner. Give that guy a medal.
He won that that challenge. But no, it's, I mean, I've tried to run the route around there, but it's a lot of traffic lights, a lot of, and for a fun run,
I plan on finding a treadmill at some point.
Yeah. There you go. I wanted to ask, since we didn't, this year we are not doing, our bingo game for cosplay bingo. We didn't get that off the ground in time, but I'd be curious to see if you'd be interested in taking on a bit of a cosplayer selfie challenge and see how many different cosplayer selfies.
Okay. Jay, how many do you think you're going to get?
I'm going to go with two.
Nice. That's two more than I thought you were going to do.
Full of surprises.
Going to dress up the dog and one of the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll treat this, you know, it's informal. You know, there's no stakes in this. It's really just a matter of, you know, maybe all of Sunday night's drinks.
I was just doing it for the trash talking rights, but okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's just say that it's good for... over the course of time, it does not have to be cashed in this weekend, but I will say, let's say that, you know, by Sunday night, by the time everything wraps up and we sit down to dinner on Sunday night, that you've pulled together 15 unique, cosplayer selfies and I only came up with 13. So you're up plus two. So I owe you two drinks over the course of whenever. It could be, you could cash them in that night. You could say, you know what, we'll save it for the next thing, whatever it is.
I was going to say, since I have to drive Sunday night, I will probably save my drinks.
Exactly. But, you know, they will be absolutely valid GPR IOUs.
Okay.
The best kinds of IOUs, the ones that come with a drink attached to them. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
We'll write them on the back of all the ribbons we haven't given away yet.
I'm going to be just chucking those things overhand at people this weekend. all right. So, yeah, there you have it. As we are recording here on Monday night, you'll be getting this into your hands momentarily, and we will hopefully see a vast number of you on Friday, if not sooner. When do you fly in? Or I know you drive in. When do you drive in?
I fly in Thursday, and then I drive out Sunday.
Fly in, drive out. Okay, got it. Yep. All right.
It's magic.
Got it. All right. So yeah, we will see all of you there. And if you have any, if you're curious about where to track us down and things, the one of the great things once again this year about Galley is that they are using the sked.com site and app to be able to lay out your schedules, and you can link up with people and find out where people are going to be on a very safe basis. So you can't just, you know, stalk people around and say, oh, funny meeting you in this panel again. And that's you have to agree to let someone see your schedule. But track us down. We'll be all over the place. Yeah. And let's just have a killer time. I'm feeling some news. Are you feeling some news?
Definitely some news.
Okay. This is like the traffic light of news items. You've got the one you go, yeah, tell me all about it. And then you got the one, okay, yeah, sure, you can tell me about it. And then there's one, oh, no, don't tell me about it. Where do we start?
Well, let's just take them in the order we've got them here. And so there's a new name in terror. You know,
Pating.
No, not quite. Now the thing that you have to be terrified of is Kevin. So
was the kid from Home Alone?
Was that the non-Trump security guard guy from the Spiders episode?
Yeah. No, so somebody posed the question online. What was the code name used in the script for Resolution to refer to the Dalek? Mm. Because, you know, they didn't want it getting out. Apparently, they named him Kevin.
Yeah.
We have two named Daleks now. We've got Rusty and Kevin.
Rusty and Kevin. It's the two drinking buddies at the end of the bar that neither of which you really want to talk to.
I want to see this spinoff series, Rusty and Kevin, Dalek Adventures.
Man.
Web content?
Yeah, right. And of course, Kevin's the recon, so he's the one that always arrives at the bar first. Rusty just comes clanking in whenever he feels like.
And it's just halfway through, like, the second drink, Rusty's just like, you're a terrible Dalek. You know that?
Next really interesting little piece, just for those of you who joined us in your absolute adoration of the episode when it aired, Rosa, Mallory Blackman's contribution to the writing episode for this past season, Chris Chibnall involved as well, received an award for the contributions towards civil progress. I'm gathering from this that this is a relatively new award ceremony itself. I guess they're calling this the inaugural year for the Visionary Arts, Visionary Honors Organization. So by their definition, they are the, quote, UK's first social impact entertainment and media awards, aiming to be a catalyst for social change, inspiring teenagers and young adults through their art, media, entertainment. Well, as far as the TV show of the year category, I have no question that this would have been nominated, and I really am not surprised that it won. Jay, you were able to witness firsthand the kind of impact.
We kind of talked about this after we finished recording last week, but my youngest son was studying civil rights and stuff in school, and so I was like, you know what, I got something for you. And so we sat down and watched this, and I have never seen an episode of TV that is able to bring a child to tears because they viscerally feel the injustice of it. So, I mean, yeah, there's no question in my mind that this is well-deserved and even more than that. So, yeah, I'm thrilled with this victory.
Mm. I would not be surprised if this episode gets incorporated into a lot of lesson planning for civil rights era educational curricula and lesson plan blocking. It's just, it's something that, well, you had said it. I'll let you refresh my memory on this. When we were talking offline, you were saying it was something about the fact that it doesn't really have to be the science fiction aspect of it.
Yeah.
Even aside.
I mean, my kid was less interested in the science fiction, in the Doctor Who part of it. It was the fact that the history aspect of it was done so well, whether accurate or inaccurate. Well, you know, it's entertainment. But he was so thrilled with all of that, that the Doctor Who part of it just kind of, it was like, yeah, it was there to move the story along or whatever, but it wasn't the main draw for him, which that impressed me too.
Right. Because he is actually a pretty well established young Whovian. So,
oh yeah.
So that's not unfamiliar territory to him at all. So,
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Shape of Things to come, I really hope. Mm-hmm. Not only just the fact that Doctor Who is winning these kind of awards, but the fact that they're establishing more of these awards to credit facets of the entertainment industry with moving things forward as far as getting our young people to pay more attention to the substance of the stories that they're consuming rather than just something that, you know, it's a lot of jump cuts and smash editing and fit more entertainment in per minute. Give me something that actually ties into the educational aspect in an intriguing and engaging way. I think it's one of the great successes of this past season.
I think for them to go back and embrace the mission statement of the early TV show of, like, you know, teach the kids history and stuff, they hit it out of the park with this one.
Yeah. Without question. Well, last piece to share with you, and I preface this with my two co-hosts here before they got a chance to check it out. This comes with a huge, not a spoiler warning, this is a feels warning, because it's really, really dangerous territory in that regard. About a year or so back, there's an up-and-coming recording artist out of Scotland who's we'll just call him Lewis for the moment. He has a rather recognizable last name, and I think he knew that in some way he may have been remotely related to a certain celebrity that we know and love very much. But because his career in Scotland has been starting to rise with an EP that he had released around the beginning part of last year, this relative of his showed up at one of his gigs and introduced himself to this young 22-year-old. And this one rather wild, silver-haired 60-year-old Scotsman, the kid found out he was related to the Doctor. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
stick that one in your CV. but instead of just having that sort of, you know, family connection, how many marriages apart, or how many, you know, where in the family tree, because apparently it has been described as an extremely distant relationship, but they do still share the last name Capaldi. And now that one of the singles from that EP is doing extremely well, it's a very kind of a melancholy, very soft piece that has a lot to do with a charity organization that the songwriter had been tipped off to by his mother, who was a nurse, and was sort of impressing upon him the importance of these organizations that encourage people to be organ donors because of the lives that they save rather than focusing on the lives that have been lost. So they put a video together and they asked Peter to star in it. And it's one of the most difficult things I think I've ever tried to watch. Or have tried to watch in quite some time. It runs maybe 3 minutes and change, and I physically can't get through more than about a minute and a half, minute and 45 of it at a shot. I keep having to come back to it and jump around to different pieces in order to see the entire thing because it hurts a lot.
Yeah, I just when we had it in there, Kier kind of warned us about that, and I turned it on to, you know, get a sense for what it was, and I may have hit about 30 seconds. I'm like, yep, nope. If I watch anymore, I'm not going to be able to record. Yeah. It's, yeah, right in the feels with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Thankfully, I mean, it ends with as the song does, it really has a lot to do with the idea of the redeeming nature, the hope that springs out of people that make that decision to become organ donors and to be the one to help save a life after theirs has reached its end, and hopefully keep, another family member there, or to give people more time with a loved one that they may not have had previously. So the story behind it is absolutely beautiful, but visually it plays out. Yeah, I have to say the whole beginning sequence is probably the toughest because and I don't mean to completely sort of jump rails on this, but think about the opening sequence of Up. Okay. And the fact that we keep talking about what a left turn and that unusual real punch in the heartstrings that was, thinking, oh, these beautiful little characters and oh, this lovely little couple. And wait, what? This has that kind of thing. But you're watching Peter, our Peter, wandering around an empty house and having flashbacks to the last days of his wife's life. It's just brutal. So if you can somehow punch through the first minute and a half, it does resolve beautifully with the widower meeting the family of one who was saved as a result of the heart that was donated. So it's just an amazing piece. So please just do yourself that service when you're ready.
We warned you.
Yeah. You can send your hate mail to Kier@GallifreyPublicRadio.com. That's K-E-I-R. Spell it right or it all goes to Jay and he doesn't want to listen to it.
Spell it wrong.
Yeah. Or spell it wrong. Go right ahead. He'll forward it to me anyway.
I got nothing else to do this weekend. Why not?
Yeah. So there you have. And the organization, actually the video was made in partnership with a charity. It's called Live Life, Give Life out of the UK. So it's a raising awareness, but I'm certain that to a certain degree, it's going to garner a lot of fundraising for that organization as well. And rightfully so. So there you go.
All right. Well, so next week's going to be live from Gallifrey One.
Yes. We're going to call Jay, wake him up.
We'll be real drunk.
Yeah. Okay.
Jay, record something for us.
Yeah. So this will be an exciting episode, and I get to enjoy it right along with the rest of you. So
we make no promises. Yeah. A lot of fascinating editing choices will be made, I'm sure. But there you have it.
Well, this has been episode 322 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I wonder what's on Netflix.
And this is Gear saying, ladies and gentlemen, as we gear up for this convention, please remember that con crud is no laughing matter. So please remember to spay or neuter your pet today.
And this is Haley saying, I'm going to have so many drink coupons.
Omens.
We'll see you guys next week.
And I'll see.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.